Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Section 10 podcast. Here are your hosts, Jared Carabas and Pete Blackburn.
What's up and welcome back to the Section 10 podcast, episode 34, presented by Barstool Sports. It is the home of your soon-to-be 2016 World Series champion Boston Red Sox. I am your host, Jared Carabas, alongside Pete Blackburn, who's not coming to my birthday party tonight. What's up, Pete?
Hey, I hate your birthday. You suck. I don't care about you.
And our producer, Steve Peralt. What's up, Steve, who's coming to my birthday?
What's going on? B-Day party, let's get it.
I'm excited.
Making me look really bad by coming back from New York to attend your birthday party.
Sunday off just for Jared's B-Day.
And you know who else did that? Gary Streisky came back early, took the weekend off.
Yo, Streisky's there tonight?
Like a true friend. Yep, Streisky's there tonight. Pete? Not so much.
Pete's going to have major FOMO. It's all good, though.
Yeah. Pete's just, it's not important. If it's not important, it's fine. You can just act like it's not important. It's not a big deal, but...
Listen, guy.
Saying, you know,
listen, guy.
Everyone else is taking the weekend off.
I've explained to you the reason that I can't come to your birthday party as much as I would like to.
I don't feel like you do, because
I would love to.
I
would love to come to your birthday party.
Gary is here from... another country.
What?
Where was Gary?
Wasn't he in Montreal?
Oh, that's true. Yeah, he did come
that
from a country.
Okay, yeah, so fuck you, Pete. Anyways.
I thought you were going like the real racist route there.
I was like, wow, okay.
All right, we're going there. Yeah, so it's going to be fun. There's going to be a couple deaths tonight.
Let's go. A couple deaths.
Yeah, going to tear up the dance floor a little bit.
This could be the last episode of the Section 10 podcast ever.
I'm worried.
For all we know.
I'm already worried for what snaps are going to be revealed of me probably, you know, on the dance floor.
See, like, you guys are talking about all the things that I'm going to miss out on. The only thing that I'm really dreading missing out on is seeing Steve drunk, which I haven't.
Oh.
Which, actually, that's not true. I've seen Steve drunk at Foxwoods.
Oh, that's true.
Oh.
But this is in the wild. That was a contained environment.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Steve drunk at Foxwoods was nothing like Steve
drunk. It's like Steve
drunk
in a cage.
Yeah. I mean, we were trying to be classy. We were dressed up nice. Yeah. It's not the baseball tavern. The baseball tavern is just like
we did our best to be classy.
Yeah,
we were really on the edge of classiness. But
I had an Argyle sweater vest on.
That's true.
That's pretty classy.
That's true.
Yeah. So today is April 2nd, which means tomorrow is April 3rd.
Wow, this big if true.
Which is the official. Unofficial opening day Major League Baseball season. Not the Red Sox opening day. It's the MLB opening day. So we're going to get, three games on Sunday, ESPN. And then on Monday, we got opening day. The day that we've been waiting 181 days for.
See, I don't like the way that they're kind of trying to spread it out. It's almost like they're doing it the NFL way where they do the opening Thursday game and then they have Sunday.
It's just got to be one day.
It's for baseball, I feel like that's sacred. Opening day is opening day.
I think football makes sense, actually, with the NFL.
Well, it does, yeah. Like, because prime time is a big deal in the NFL. I love fucking day baseball games. Like, opening day, I'd be pissed if my team was opening up at night.
Yeah. I think everyone should just start at, like, 1 on Monday. Like, a 1 p.m. afternoon ball game.
Just everybody go.
Yep. Everyone just go. And make it a national holiday, goddammit.
No!
That's the best part of baseball season is opening day where you get to, like, spring's right around the corner, everything's blooming, looking bright, and
have
then you get to day drink and watch baseball.
Yeah, but we're getting fucking snow.
Well, you know what? Don't rain on my parade. I'm still going to day drink and watch baseball.
But hold on. Wasn't it Ozzie Smith that wanted to make opening day a national holiday?
No, you got me. I mean, why is that a bad thing?
It's a fucking terrible thing because...
Of all people, you saying that.
Yes. Opening day should not be a national holiday because part of the tradition of opening day is calling out of work, getting out of school so you can go watch. I don't want these fucking lacrosse kids getting the day off because baseball is an amazing sport. I don't want all the gothic kids who are under the bleachers singing emo lyrics. I don't want them getting the day off either. It's for baseball fans.
That was a roller coaster of an explanation, and for that I am very happy. But no, that's understandable. I think there's something genuine about like leaving school early to watch David Price throw a no-hitter.
Yeah. I once left school early or fake sick, I think. Fake sick in high school to watch Daisuke Matsuzaka's first start.
That's something. I remember I wrote a fake note for game two of the ALDS in 07. The Manny game, the walk-off, was his hands up, grounded for a month. I think it was worth it. I would have done it all over again.
Yeah, it was a night game.
What's up? It was a night game, but we left to wait in line on Lansdowne at noon.
To go to the game.
Because we had to get tickets. Okay. So we wait in the line to get tickets and wrote the fake note.
It's commitment right
I had my buddy sign the signature. It looked so stupid. It was one of the, it was like the Sandlot, like, baby Ruthie? Like, it didn't make any sense at all. We were like, it's good, it's gonna work. And it totally did not work. But it was worth it. That game was amazing.
The only thing I've ever skipped for opening day, because I think, what was it, 2005, the ring ceremony. I was a sophomore in high school, I think. So I had to skip baseball practice because I think it was like a 4 o'clock game.
Yeah, but they didn't really need you, right? Because you were on the bench for most of that season.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you were in high school, you didn't skip for opening day?
I don't think that I had to. I can't remember there being like an opening day that wasn't like...
Oh, you're saying like a 4 o'clock start? Is that?
Oh, yeah. I guess school gets out at like 2 o'clock. So if a game starts at like 1:30, you miss an inning. Then you come home.
Yeah, we got out around 1:50, I think.
Wow.
So yeah, I don't think I ever had to skip for opening day. There was the I remember skipping for because Patriots Day is a holiday.
Yeah, so you have that off.
No, we had a half day, so I think we got out at 11, or we had no. I think. Either we had it off or it was a half day. But either way, I didn't miss those games either because it is a holiday in Massachusetts.
I just remember skipping for Daisuke's first start because I was like, this guy is apparently supposed to be the next fucking best pitcher in the world.
The gyro ball.
Looking back on it.
He had 10 strikeouts in that first game.
Anyone that brings up that 18-3 season, I want to hit him like right in the nose, like a really hard punch right to the face, because like that was the most grueling 18-3 season I've ever seen in my life. They had one of the best offenses of our lifetime, and they bailed them out. He had more bases in situations than any pitcher I remember.
Yeah. Perfect game, no hitter?
I think it was a no-no.
No, he didn't throw a no-hitter.
No, I'm saying he was like through eight, yeah.
In the playoffs, yeah, against the Rays, he took one deep, but yeah, Daisuke sucks. Thanks for reminding me how much that guy sucks. So yeah, there's a few things to get to today because we haven't done a podcast in a month because usually we say, no, we're back. We're going to have one every single week now, and then we go another month. So
well, I think the regular season will hold us accountable.
Sure. Because now there's more things to talk about other than like, who should be at third base?
This is a slightly uneventful spring training. Kind of. I feel like last spring training was more eventful.
I'm sure a lot of people are very
surprised. There were a lot more questions, I think,
I mean, that,
surrounding
that,
the team.
In fact, we haven't talked about the move yet is surprising.
The move?
So, Shaw getting the start. The fact we
haven't just happened.
Yeah.
I know, but I'm just saying.
I think that last spring training, there was just more of a, who's... is this
nobody had
any idea
what the team was going to be?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it was more just like, let's wait and see kind of thing. Because they were just like, here are a bunch of assholes. This is our rotation. We're going to hope that our offense carries us until the trade deadline. Then we'll trade for Cole Hamels and hopefully be in it. That was pretty much the plan, which didn't work out, obviously. But this year, I feel like there's more question marks, to be honest with you. I feel like there's more question marks because there's more of a sample size with some of these guys that we didn't know about, and the sample size has really only confused me for a number of players, one of which happens to be Jackie Bradley Jr., because last year, around this time, we had no idea what Jackie Bradley Jr. was. A lot of people thought that he was a bust because he couldn't hit major league pitching, but he was just crushing spring training. He was crushing minor league pitching. And now, I mean, we had that hot August where he hits 400 and has an OPS over 1,000. It's like around like 1,500, actually. But that was just a month. So what is Jackie Bradley Jr.? We don't know. Ruzne Castillo, he's on the bench. We know that. But what kind of player is he? We don't know. So that's one of the other things. And then you have a few other names, too, where I don't want to – I hope this doesn't happen, but what if Bogaerts regresses? What happens then? That's one of the guys that they're counting on. That's one of the only guys, Mookie Betts and Xander Bogaerts, that they're counting on. No, these guys are all set. These are the only guys that we don't have to worry about. Well, what if one of them regresses? Then what? Then you're fucked.
So how much weight do you put in the spring training stats? Because I think people it's somewhere in the middle. People are like, oh, dude, spring training, like, it doesn't matter at all. I hate those people, but then I hate the people that say, like, JBJ is going to tear the cover off the ball like he's having a great spring. I think it's somewhere in the middle, but how much weight do you actually put to a good or bad spring?
None.
So you're one of those that puts absolutely nothing into it.
I put it this way.
I feel like it matters a different amount for certain guys. Like JBJ, you want to see him perform in the spring.
But we've already seen him do that, and he sucked. Like, I put it... Okay, here's the thing about spring training statistics. Spring training statistics, like we saw in 2013 when Jackie Bradley Jr. won the opening day spot in left field and Travis Shaw won the third base spot this year, the spring training statistics can earn you a spot in the lineup on opening day, but they're not a future indicator of their performance that year.
Yeah, and you're not permanently slotted into that position either.
Right. I mean, Travis Shaw could have a terrible first month of the season, and then Sandoval's back out there.
Yep.
So
there's more than none value then. I mean, there's obviously value to what you're doing.
Sure. Yeah, there's value in getting a head start.
Yeah. Especially if you're neck and neck with somebody else.
But if you look at David Ortiz, historically, he's been fucking terrible in spring training. So it's like, okay.
Spring training stats only really matter if you're competing for a job.
Bingo.
Yeah. Essentially.
Yeah.
Bingo, bango.
Yeah. That's kind of what I'm going for. So yeah, and I look at defense is the number one thing. It's not really a statistic, but it's something that you can look at during
spring training. Because that's going to stay consistent. Always.
Always. Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter who's hitting the ball.
Right.
It doesn't matter if it's a AAA guy up at the plate. Mm-hmm. If you're fielding well, that's going to stay consistent.
Right. Which blows my fucking mind that Michael Felger, my new buddy.
Jason Carrabas.
his stance, I mean, because put it this way, Hanley Ramirez has looked pretty good at first base. We could talk about that, too. Are you shaking your fucking head right now,
I'm
Steve?
Shaking my head because I can't believe he's looked good.
Okay.
It's more like a disbelief.
Okay.
Trust me. I agree with you. It's crazy.
At some point, we got to go back and listen to. If he turns out to have like a good year at first base,
we
have to go back and listen
guy.
To how much we fucking shat on that guy.
Well, the amount of times
I'm still not sold on it, but like.
No, which is like, it would be crazy to say, as we've been mentioning, it would be crazy to say.
I think Jared did a good job hedging his bets. He was like, he's going to suck at first base, but if he does okay,
he did one of those where he really can't lose.
Yeah.
So, but I'll give you credit, because for the person that basically blamed him more than anyone for sucking in the field, you owned up to it. You're saying, you know what? What the hell? He's actually looking good.
Yeah. Which
is the guy on day one who goes like, oh, dear God. Yes. God help us.
God help us all. Well, that was because I was looking at. I'm not a guy that's going to judge someone on their performance without seeing their performance. So when I was saying God help us all, I was looking at a picture of Hanley Ramirez diving for a ball that just kind of trickled by him. But then, yeah, I mean, okay, let me explain myself since we're on the subject of Hanley Ramirez.
Here you go.
I said verbatim, this is going to be a fucking disaster. Here's my logic behind that. I thought that it was going to be a fucking disaster because I watched every single game last year. I watched him out in left field, and because of his shoulder injury that was surgically repaired, he didn't dive for a single ball. So I took that logic and said, if he's not going to dive at all at first base, this is going to be a fucking disaster. I didn't just say like, oh, he was a bad left fielder, so he's going to be a bad first baseman. Not true. I just said diving is a pretty big, you know, aspect to being a first baseman if you're going to be a passable
or
one, never mind
just
a good
corner
one.
Infielder at all.
Yeah. So the second that I saw him dive for a ball up the line, that's when I came off the fence. I was like, okay, if he's willing to dive and he can do it and look a little bit graceful, then great. That's excellent. I'm off the fence of it's going to be a disaster, and I'm on the let's see what he's got.
I'm waiting for that one moment, because I think we know what's going to happen, either in April or May, when he has some awkward dive, or it's like a lean into the dugout trying to catch a ball, and something pulls, and we've seen that Hanley face before, that like, yeah, something's up.
Yeah.
And then, boom, he's gone for like a couple of weeks. So yeah. I'm waiting for that, and then Shaw goes to first, Pablo goes to third, his fat ass somehow produces at the plate. Now what do you do? Now you're kind of stuck in no man's land, because if they're both producing, then it's like, do we put Hanley back at first if he's kind of hobbly, or are we now using him as like a bat off the bench that will then come in next year as the DH? So
listen, let's just enjoy the blessing that
I know,
we have
I'm
in
just
front
saying,
of us
I'm
right
saying,
now.
Like, I can't wait. I just can't wait till May when we can like really revisit this and say like, all right, we have a month of real ball
games.
I'm
not putting too much into spring training.
No,
I know, but it's way more promising. It is funny if we looked back at what we said. We said some awful things. Some very bad.
I don't take them back, Steve.
I don't.
I meant every word.
By we, I mean all of us. We said terrible things. But
horrible things.
It's kind of hilarious that he's looked pretty damn good.
Yeah, circling back to the Felger point. So Felger's argument was that because these were BU and Northeastern baseball players that were hitting the ground balls to Hanley, that they don't count as much as if they were hit by major league players.
Ground,
it's
ground
like
balls, yeah.
A ball off the bat of anybody is it's a ground ball. like, ground balls are ground balls. It doesn't matter.
A spade's a spade. What are we talking about here?
Yeah, so...
playoffs.
But he was trying to say that you can't, you have to throw out spring training defensive eyeball tests.
No, there are certain things that translate. Stupid comparison.
That's the only thing that you can keep in there, really, in spring training eyeball tests, is the fielding.
It's a weird comparison, but like, if someone, say someone in college that can shoot, a shooter, that translates to the pros. If you play defense in spring training, you play defense in the regular, defense is defense. That's not going to change.
Velocity. We talk about last year about how fucking great Joe Kelly looked in spring training.
Right.
Guys fucking throwing the ball 100 miles an hour.
Well, speaking of Joe Kelly, here's a guy who blocks me on Twitter who's not getting enough love this spring. I've been trying my best. Cheap plug. I've been on Comcast Sportsnet doing Sportsnet Central and all those other fucking shows that they have. And
great plug.
I know.
Well, it doesn't matter. It's whatever show I'm on. I'm happy to be there. But the thing about the rotation is that, you know, everyone is saying, well, we got David Price. But after David Price, what do you really have? You know, a bunch of fours and fives. I kind of disagree with that. I kind of disagree because I was watching Joe Kelly this spring. And I remember sitting in my friggin' bedroom. This is going to sound weird. With Pete doing this podcast, like the first three episodes, maybe like episode two or three.
Sitting in my steamy bedroom with Pete.
What was
making
going on?
Section 10 magic.
Section 10.
Well, we had, that's what we need in here, because we had a TV in my room when we were doing it in there.
Yeah, we'll have a TV down here soon enough.
Yeah, that's the next step.
We need the green monster wall as well.
Yeah,
that's going to happen.
So I remember doing, it was probably episode two or three, and we were watching Joe Kelly during spring training. He was pumping 100 miles an hour, and his changeup was like 83. And I was like, that is fucking filthy. But then we get into the season. Turns out that 100 miles an hour is pretty hittable if it's, you know, as straight as an arrow. But what I did notice with Joe Kelly this spring is that he was mixing his speeds, which is, if you talk to Pedro Martinez, I don't know if you've heard of him, he's pretty good. He said that mixing your speeds is more important than having, you know, 96, 97 type velocity. If you're mixing your pitches, you're mixing your speeds, that's going to help you out a lot, which I saw Joe Kelly doing that this spring. Besides, like, that last start where he gave up, like, what, two or three home runs?
So you're saying him taking speed off to get more location, right?
Or more movement, too.
Yeah.
True. Yeah. Well, it's both. I mean, if you're locating, that's going to help out because, yeah, that's, I'm not going to compare Joe Kelly to Greg Maddux, but that's what saved his career once he lost his fastball, was he just was a locating magician. But, yeah, that's something that I noticed with Joe Kelly. I kind of loop him in with that Eduardo Rodriguez company, where it's like you don't exactly know what you're going to get, but there's a chance, there's a better chance that it's going to be good rather than bad.
I think the tough thing right now is outside of David Price, we're kind of looking at the rotation as a box of chocolates.
Sure.
We don't know what we're getting. And I think your Buckholz point is very... I like the casual diss, by the way, of Buckholz. That was pretty good.
Which one?
The, what's his face? Porcello having 12 starts, which is the whole Buckholz season. No smirk. I was like, wow, that was like the dagger going in.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, we're looking at the rest of the rotation. You really don't know what you have. And I think that obviously is reason for concern. But again, let's talk in May and see what we're really dealing with. But yeah, out of the gate, it's going to be very important for these guys to get on the right note. I mean, really just get their confidence up and start off strong.
That's the thing that kind of drives me crazy about having to do like these segments on a weekly basis when you haven't played one game, is you keep talking about these pitchers and it's just all guessing. Like there's nothing to evaluate. They haven't done anything yet. I think, and I've said this before, if you look at what Porcello did when he came back from the disabled list, he was Rick Porcello. He was the guy that the Red Sox thought that they were getting. He's not a $20 million pitcher. He's never going to be that. But, I mean, he was like 3.5 ERA. Are you going to take that from Rick Porcello if he does that over a full season this year?
Yep.
You bet your fucking ass you are.
He's in a market where he can be afford. They can afford to overpay him if that's what he's going to
be. Sure. And at the same time...
like, it's not ideal, but you'd rather have that than what he was last year.
Right. In last year...
the contract is done. It's signed. The ink is dry.
I know, like, we got to stop focusing on the money value. Let's stop doing that.
It doesn't fucking matter.
Most of these guys don't live up to the money. You're paying that, so you outpay
whoever
the
suitor is. There's no
salary
cap. You have no reason to bitch about how much money he's making.
Why do we care about what they're giving him?
We don't.
We don't.
We don't. I don't personally. It's not my money. Well, it is kind of, but not really. It's more John Henry's money.
You own that. You have a part ownership in the team now.
I got season tickets.
Do you like suck a dick before you came on here? You just keep clearing your throat over and over again.
Because I have
do you need a water?
Have you never noticed that like I do this all the time? Like my throat is just fucked.
Do you want a water?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll be right back.
All right. What were we talking about? Oh, Clay Buchholz. All right. Steve, since you're the only one here.
Oh, man. I'm trying to come back. Okay, I'm back.
Clay Buchholz, right?
Yeah.
I tried to make... Hey, what a boy.
What a boy over here. Yeah. What a boy. Can I get one of them waters, boy? Thanks, man.
I fucking hate all of you.
Oh, God, yeah.
This is great audio.
Yeah. So we're talking about Clay Buchholz before you left to go get us some waters. And one of the big things about Clay Buchholz is that the point that he's probably going to get injured at some point in the season and either be lost for the entire remainder of the season or for a significant portion of it is completely valid. The chances of that happening again this year are probably somewhere in the 98% region. So, say Clay Buchholz goes down again in...
Do we throw a parade if Clay Buchholz pitches a full season?
We should, yeah. I kind of like have to. This episode's very important for setting like goals for the whole season. Like, if certain things happen, we're going to do this, and obviously we'll predict the records, but like if Buchholz goes a whole season, we got to do something crazy.
Where we fucked up royally is we had a whole offseason to go back and look at like the podcast from before the 2015 season.
What we said
season.
We were going to do.
Yeah. And we didn't go back and revisit that, so maybe
that's why bold predictions today. We're doing that today.
Okay. All right.
This is the predictions episode?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like it. I like it a lot. We can revisit it.
None of us are actually thinking he goes a full season, right? We're not actually.
No.
All right.
No. Well, what is a full season? Because I think he's pitched 180 innings before. I think that might be around 200.
I think he peaked around that.
I think a full season is 30 starts. If you make 30 starts, that's a full season. It'll probably even out to be around 200 innings. But... If Clay Buchholz pitches 180 innings, dude, that's a fucking full season to me.
Be the second highest he's ever pitched.
Yeah.
The question is, like, the importance is when do those 180 innings come? Because if he pitches half the season and then misses the second half, and if they make the playoffs and he doesn't pitch in the playoffs, like, what fucking good is that?
If he's getting that many innings, though, he's going to have to get a good chunk of starts. You wouldn't be chewing up 190 without being there for most of the season.
Yeah. If you're making 180 starts, you're
180 innings. That would be
I mean, yeah.
180 starts. Full prediction.
If you're throwing 180 innings, you're probably making north of 25 starts.
Yeah,
for him to have like a successful, healthy season, he needs to be pitching well down the stretch.
Yeah,
it's impossible. It's not going to happen. I don't even know why we're talking about this. There's fucking zero chance that he's not going. There's no fucking way he's going to pitch a complete season this year. There's no way. But I'm not worried about it. Why am I not worried about it, Steve?
Because your whole season doesn't rely on whether Clay Buchholz picks a hole.
Pitching depth.
This
pitching
guy.
You don't, depth,
it's
Steve.
Not, they're this not going right to make or miss the playoffs because he goes a whole season.
No. I agree with that. And in 2013, okay, you had one of the best first halves of a season in Red Sox history from Clay Buchholz, right? And then he was gone the rest of the year. They still won the World Series. People forget that he actually did come back and pitch in that World Series.
People
decently.
Forget that.
People forget that. People forget that. So... The thing about that is that I'm okay if Clay Buchholz... I just want good Clay Buchholz. I don't care about the fucking innings because I accept that we're not going to get a full season. If we get half a season of good Clay Buchholz, I'll take it because half a season of good Clay Buchholz is better than a full season of, say...
Clay Buchholz.
Fucking Steven Wright, Henry Owens. But if you combine the two, right? If you have half a season of good Clay Buchholz and half a season of... decent Henry Owens, that's a complete season of a Frankenstein fucking pitcher, and I'm okay with that,
which is fine.
Yeah, because I mean, I look at, you know, the Red Sox right now. Say they make the playoffs. What's your playoff rotation? I mean, it's way too early to accurately
way too early
that,
to say that,
but just on a limb,
you would have Price. Depending, it's so much is riding on that, but ideally Kelly, Buchholz would be towards the end of it. If you're talking about what a 4-man rotation.
He would the fourth guy would probably get one start. He'd probably start like game four.
Knowing how I think the season's going to go and how we would probably all agree on, he would probably be the last guy there.
Okay.
Pete? Price, maybe either Porcello or Buchholz, and then the other one, and then, I don't know, Eduardo Rodriguez.
Yeah, who knows with Erod? Erod's the wild card here.
I'm saying that it would probably be something like, because I'm assuming that Buchholz is not going to be healthy enough to take the ball in game two. And I also think that, like I said, this is way too soon to predict.
Yeah,
I
why
think
are we doing this?
I know. This is way too soon to predict, but it's going to be Price. It's going to be pitcher X, who they're going to have they have yet to acquire.
It's true.
I think that their number two is going to be a guy that's not even here yet. And then their number three is going to be.
We thought that last year. Or we thought pitcher one would be a guy that wasn't.
But
here.
That really could be the glaring hole come trade deadline that they really need to address, especially if they're in the mix in the AL East.
Yeah. So the thing that I have noticed the most since jumping into TV and radio is
big time guy.
Hey, here we go.
Big time in us.
Hey-o.
Only a matter of time.
Hey-o.
Everyone in this fucking town is so negative that I'm trying my best. That's why I don't leave my house, is because I'm just trying.
Didn't you already know this? This should be known that it's a
negative. The more you get into mainstream sports media, the more miserable everybody is going to be.
Yeah, Pete gets it with the skate show, morning skate.
Sports media people are fucking miserable.
I am getting that now. I'm getting that now.
I thought that was a big reason why you didn't want to get into it in the first place.
It
in terms of being a beat writer or covering a team.
It is, 1,000%. But that's also why I'm there, is to fucking even out these negative psychopaths.
That's why you picked a good show with Zolak and Bertrand.
Yeah,
like,
they're awesome.
Those dudes don't seem to fucking want to shoot themselves in the face every time they go to work.
Yes.
It's
but
rare.
They're also not very high in the Red Sox either. And
that's why you're there.
Neither is Felger. And
but isn't that good for ratings? I'm sure you are very well aware with Felger. You got to think he doesn't have all those takes really in his head, right? He's got to create takes, right?
Yeah.
Because like when you guys are on air, he'll be agreeing with you and he's disagreeing with you.
Yes.
It's the weirdest skill I've ever seen.
Yes, that's happened.
That guy's got
times.
An incredible skill set that is so hard to find in anybody.
In his mind, it's just all like planned out.
He will battle with you to the death, even if he agrees with everything you're saying. And somehow, he sounds good doing it.
I know.
That's the thing. Like, you can be making unbelievable points, making 100% sense, and he can drop one line that will stump you and make you look like a fucking
idiot.
And
then cut you off.
Yes.
And then he cuts your mic.
I told you,
so you
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but I'm just saying I'm sorry. I'm saying. Jared,
it?
I agree
it?
With you. I'm just saying it.
Sorry.
And then he was like, well, your team sucks. And then he goes to the next segment.
He's very, very, very good at dropping something and then just getting out. Like, that drop in at the end was perfect.
What are you trying to do? We can drop this in afterwards.
You gotta score a goal. I'm sorry, Frank. I didn't mean to do that.
I'm so sorry.
Sorry. So, yeah, that's Felger. But I'm just, you know, the reason why I introduced that, the fact that everyone is so negative, is because I want to talk about the actual outlook of this team as it stands right now, because I already hinted that I think
that's
that
why the world needs us, Jared.
Yes,
that's why the world needs us.
Thank you.
We are a positive light in a very negative world.
Yes, we are the positive spin that this town needs.
Not the one it asked for, but the one it needs,
yes.
Jared.
So what does Vegas have the Red Sox at? 86 wins, I think?
Couldn't tell you.
Okay.
Just keep talking.
I think it's 86 wins. Over, under, 86 wins. Pete.
Over.
Steve.
We're all going to say over, right? We're all going to say over, right? I'm saying high 80s. I'm saying 89. That's my
89?
Yeah. Yours isn't like 110 with Price going undefeated. 30-0, dude. He's going to have a 1 ERA with like a shitload of Ks. I mean, the Cy Young. He's going to win that 3 years in a row, right?
Is I think that's a fair over-under. Like, I think
86
feels
high.
You think it's high?
You think it feels high?
I think that feels right.
I think it feels like what they could land at.
That's okay. That's my point. I picked them for 86 wins. So that's why I think that the over-under is a little bit high. I think that they're an 86-win team. That's the number that I'm going with. And I think that people forget how good this fucking...
People forget that.
People forget that. How good this offense is. I look at last year's team, right? Fourth in Major League Baseball in runs scored, and that's with fat fuck Sandoval doing nothing. That's with Hanley Ramirez doing nothing.
Outside of the first month of the season.
Yeah. I mean, they literally were one of the highest scoring offenses in baseball.
And with those guys doing nothing, and with young guys coming up with very little experience, now they have more experience under their belt.
Theoretically
speaking, they should be better.
And then the Theo Epstein teams, we keep hearing that term run prevention, right? Run prevention. And run differential is one of the greatest statistics that you can use to really evaluate a team's success or failures, run differential. So if the Red Sox offense theoretically gets better, right? If Hanley Ramirez is healthy and he's playing a position that he can actually field, that offense is going to get better with the addition of Hanley actually showing up. And then you look at it defensively, third base, Travis Shaw is a defensive upgrade over Pablo Sandoval. So you got an upgrade there. First base, we'll see.
But the risk of injury at first base for Hanley Ramirez is much lower than it is with him playing the outfield and possibly running into walls and diving and
sure.
doing shit like that.
I'm not worried about Hanley getting hurt playing first base. I'm worried about Hanley getting hurt on the base paths. Like, I'm worried about quad strains and fucking hamstring pulls. Like, that's what I'm worried about.
I still think he could get injured defensively.
No, he could.
I know the odds are as low as they could be at first base.
But. Yeah, I just think that if he does go down, it's going to be...
Well, I just think that's where, like, you saw the dip last year is when he got hurt after that first month of the season when he ran into the wall.
And his attitude. Like that, it all correlated.
Well, it was a confidence thing, too. I mean, he never was comfortable in left field at any point. That's got to fuck with you if you're like, wow, like, I have to go out there again and look terrible again.
He's so like, that, 9 times a game I have to go out there?
But do you really think that, like, even after... the first couple errors at first base that's not going to creep into his head?
I feel like it's easier for him to get his confidence back because you're required to make plays at first. Like, the ball's going to come to you, and it's going to be like a shooter. He sees one go in the hoop, and he's good. He's going to catch a couple balls, maybe scoop a couple. He's like, oh, I'm back.
Yeah.
Left field, you're not going to get as many chances, obviously. So.
Right. And that brings up the other point, is that now that Hanley is out of left field, Brock Holt's out there. Brock Holt is no defensive wizard, but he's average to slightly above average defensively. So you saw what they did. In June when they had Alejandro Deaza out there in left field. They won a bunch of games. That's when they got back into it, was when they had a serviceable defensive left fielder. So now you're getting a defensive upgrade in left field. You're getting a defensive upgrade at third base. So this whole run prevention thing, Dustin Pedroia is healthy again. Dustin Pedroia is back. Okay, there's another thing. So I'm looking at it as the offense is going to be just as good, if not better, than it was last year. You're getting defensive upgrades. Oh, and by the way, you have David fucking Price
and
your bullpen goddamn fucking opening day starter.
And your bullpen doesn't look like the inside of my asshole.
Well, here's the other thing. The bullpen is fucking phenomenal, and everyone was freaking out over the Carson Smith injury. Guess what? He's probably going to be back in like fucking 2 or 3 weeks. So everyone needs to shut the fuck up about Carson Smith, because he's going to be your setup man, just striking out everyone with his disgusting slider.
I just need Carson Smith to get over that awful start he had when he signed with the Red Sox, and then he tweeted about Peyton Manning. That was the first move he had as a Red Sox, and I'm like, dude, he deleted it like 2 minutes after.
Yeah,
you shamed him.
What's up? I think it was because of what I tweeted, which is actually kind of hilarious, but give him a month, and I think he's that's exactly what it was. I should have done that gift. That would have been pretty funny. But no, I think the bullpen is underrated. I think all things considered, this team has enough to fall back on that when the issues do arise, something's going to come up. You're not going to go through a whole season and have, you know, everything all jolly and winning
everything
a bunch of games.
Everything is awesome.
Everything's not going to be awesome. There's going to be things that come up that are going to mess with this team, and it's how they handle it. I think they have enough options this season to handle it better than last season.
You ready for a flaming hot take right now?
Love hot takes.
Here it comes. I haven't heard this one anywhere yet. Here it comes. So you look at left field, right? Everyone, including me, is kind of upset that they're going with Brock Holt as the full-time left fielder. I don't like that. I don't like that because I like Brock Holt on my bench. Not on my bench necessarily, but as in a bench role, super utility guy, I still want him to get 400 at-bats. But I want him to still be the guy that can play 7 different positions. I don't like him just, you know, being one defensive position. So now you have Brock Holt out there. You have Ruzne Castillo on the bench, which he really should be in Pawtucket. Like, he should be working on his game, not just sitting there watching everyone else playing. So here's my thing, right? Call it June, maybe July, around that time. Brock Holt's okay. Not great. He's okay. But then, you know, you need someone like Brock Holt to play these other positions to give guys days off. But you need a starting left fielder, don't you, Steve?
Hey, where is this going? The looks in your face are creeping me out. Where are we going?
You need a guy. You need a guy to fill in. You need a guy to play there every day.
Manny Ramirez.
And you need a guy who can play at a high level. Andrew Benintendi.
Oh, Benintendi. That's not a crazy idea.
Going David Murphy.
I know. No. I was like, where is this going? That's not a bad idea.
Yeah. So I think that there's a chance, depending on how that left field situation shakes out. Brock Holt could be an all-star again, for all I know, in left field. I just like him better as the guy that can play seven different positions.
Who told you that he's locked into that position? Like,
it's against right-handed pitchers. John Farrell said he's our left fielder.
You're making him sound like a permanent, like all-season guy. I don't think that's going to be the case.
That's what Farrell said.
I'd be very surprised come, you know, June, July, if that's still the case. In terms of, like, guys are going to dip off, someone's going to get hurt. Now you need your ultra-utility guy to fill in.
Right, so then who's going to be... That's what I'm saying.
No, I'm agreeing with you. I'm just saying that I'd be shocked if he's a full-season left fielder.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
This is a Felger disagreement, but like we're disagreeing.
I don't know where like you're getting the disagreement, though.
No, I'm just saying, because you made it sound like he's going to be permanent. I think they're saying that, but they know that's not the case, is what I'm saying.
I think that they're like, this is the guy for now until we figure it out later. And I'm saying this
even
is how
now,
you figure
even
it out.
Now it seems weird because they have like a log jam of outfielders in this team.
I know.
Outfielders.
Outfielders.
12.
Outfielders.
They have 12 outfielders.
Do they not? Who's the odd man out here?
Ruzne Castillo.
Ruzne.
But then what about Chris Young?
Chris Young will be in left field against left-handed pitching.
That's why I don't think Holt's a full... in no scenario is he a full-season guy. That's where you have enough guys, is outfielders. That's where you have like a surplus, so he's not going to be a full-season guy.
Against right-handed... how many... What would you say? Like, it's 75% right-handed pitchers in the Major 80. League Baseball, so he's going to be your left fielder for 75% of the games until they figure it out, because Chris Young's not going to be out there every day.
Until someone goes down.
And then you bring up Andrew Benintendi.
I agree. Yeah.
Okay.
That was it took a circle. We got there.
Yeah. I'm glad that we took that little stroll.
Looking at the Sox depth chart is hilarious, by the way, just because Brock Holt is listed at every position.
So we've kind of danced around it. We haven't really talked about Pablo Sandoval and the...
Pablo's waiting at home. He's listening right now. He's like, hey, when are they going to talk about me? I know Jeter's got some bad words for me, man.
It's like eight bags of Doritos deep right now.
It's covered.
By the way,
in orange soot.
By the way, I don't know if Sox Signature's dropped us, but it's been 40 minutes and we haven't done the read.
The Section 10 podcast is brought to you by Sox Signatures. Sox Signatures is the leader in autographs and game-used memorabilia of tomorrow's Boston baseball stars. Visit SoxSignatures.com today for unique items and the best prices on Sox prospects from Lowell to Boston. Use promo code SECTION10 to get 10% off your first order at SoxSignatures.com. So, Pablo Sandoval is on the bench. Do you think it's the right call, Pete, or do you think it's the wrong call, and why?
I believe that it is the right call because Pablo Sandoval is a bag of shit.
Boom. That was such a to the point. I like that take. That was great. I actually don't love it, to be honest.
Why?
Because I think I've heard...
And why?
And why don't you think that? If you're really going to try to get rid of Sandoval, he doesn't add anything sitting on the bench. I understand, though, that you also have to look at it like, great, he's the opening day starter. That literally is all that's been said. That doesn't mean he's the guy. That's not like he's, you know, the whole, like you're talking about with permanent spot.
Right.
It doesn't mean he's a permanent third baseman. It's just, I think Sandoval can't prove anything with his fat ass on the bench. True. And that's kind of where you want him to be, out in the field, raising his value. So he can't do that.
I kind of look at it this way, is that... Travis Shaw, he won the battle.
He earned his job.
Yeah. It's both. Pablo Sandoval lost his job.
Yeah.
But Travis Shaw earned his job as well. I know that people were saying, oh, did Travis Shaw earn it or did Pablo Sandoval lose it? Both. I mean, Travis Shaw definitely outplayed Pablo Sandoval, but Sandoval showed up like a fat piece of shit. He was just as bad defensively as he was last year, and I don't care what you say. It has to do with his weight and poor conditioning, and there's no fucking other reasonable explanation for why a guy that was pretty decent defensively just all of a sudden falls off a cliff. But the thing about putting Sandoval on the bench, and this is what I originally thought. If you put Sandoval on the bench, he's useless. He's just taking up a roster spot because he can only come off the bench to play third base.
Here's my question. Do you stash him on the DL with like a fucking made up injury, make him get his fucking shit together in a couple weeks if he can do it?
How much can he get together in a couple weeks, though?
But that's, I mean, that's a question. If he wants to fucking play, make him say, we're putting you on the DL. I don't care if you're fucking hurt or not. Sticking you on the DL, get your shit together, come back in a couple weeks, and we'll see, and we'll go from there.
Also, serious concern, having him on the bench, what that weight's going to be. If he's not out there every day, what's he going to look like?
Exactly. You're a guy who's already unmotivated by $95 million. What is he going to become when he's told that he's no longer a starting player on this team? So, like I said,
does anybody fucking buy his comments that he's all in for what's best for the team?
What his agent is saying is exactly what he's saying behind closed doors.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He thinks he's a Ferrari.
His agent
he thinks he's a goddamn Ferrari.
Yeah, his agent isn't speaking on his own
right.
will.
Yeah. And no, if you missed the quote, Pablo Sandoval's agent said if the team is
you
trying to
win the
World
Series, then why keep the Ferrari in the garage?
Why keep the Ferrari in the fucking garage?
Because the Ferrari's a fat piece of shit.
Yes. Exactly. I just, you know, you're not doing, put yourself in John Farrell's shoes, right? He's managing for his job right out the gate, 100%. He's on the hot seat. He could potentially be fired within the first month.
Yeah.
Agreed? Okay. So if you're managing for your job, and Mike Hazen went on MLB, for those who don't know, Mike Hazen's the general manager of the Boston Red Sox.
The quote-unquote general manager.
Mike Hazen went on MLB Network and said, this decision is going to come down to John Farrell 100%. There's some people that are saying, nope, this has Dave Dombrowski all over it, which it very well could. But on the flip side, what if Dave Dombrowski is like, John Farrell's not my manager. I didn't hire him. Like, let's see. Let's see what kind of decision-making process he has. Let's leave this big decision up to him. If he makes the right call, great. If he doesn't, we'll bring in my guy, which I don't even really know.
Unless it's Lavulo.
Yeah, it could. I mean, it probably is the money that they're paying him. Yeah, sure. So I look at it as John Farrell made this decision. And if John Farrell's making this decision, I agree with it. It's, you know, Travis Shaw over Pablo Sandoval is going to give you the best chance to win the game on opening day. But you play for 162. You don't play to win opening day. You play to win the whole season. So that's why I wanted Sandoval out there. Because Travis Shaw is a guy who can play first, he can play third, he can play left. Sandoval just kind of plays third base. So if he's on the bench, he's not going to come off the bench to fucking pinch run. He's not going to come off as a defensive replacement. He's not going to sit his fat ass on the bench all night and then come up and pinch hit for you in a big spot where you need somebody to come through.
I think he might pinch hit.
He could, but
he's definitely not going to pinch run.
But when but it's a valid point that when he does pinch hit, this guy couldn't be colder. And right. he's been sitting on the bench all night. That's true.
Yeah.
I mean, if he has a roster spot, I'm sure that he's going to get his reps
one way or another.
Sure. Yeah. And like I said, it's one of those things where let's wait it out a couple weeks because you never know. I mean, it could be mid-April that he's already back there at third base full time. We don't know. I mean, all it takes is a cold streak that Shaw had in spring training to finish it. You know, Shaw goes 1-for-19 and then Pablo Sandoval comes off the bench and has a couple clutch hits, I'm pretty sure that the fans will be like, oh, no, like, let's go with Sandoval.
How about Pedro saying that he was a babysitter for Shaw? Did you see that?
Yeah.
What was up with that?
Shaw's father is a major leaguer, and they were teammates in Montreal. So when Shaw was up there in Montreal,
he babysat Shaw. That's hilarious.
Who the hell would trust Pedro to babysit their child? That's
the
real
question. He'd be the one that keeps you out way too late. Like, oh, I had a blast. It was great, Dad. He's a lot more fun than you.
You come home, and like it's like that scene with Pedro and the midget. Rest his poor soul.
Nelson.
But like, yeah, Nelson holding him up above his head in like a champagne shower at a house party at the Shaw's house with mini Travis Shaw just getting thrown around by Pedro.
Ding dong. God. Okay, so we've come to that point. We got to throw out some predictions. It's 2 days before opening day. We're not going to do another show before a game is played. We've made it this far. Let's talk about.
I feel like we're both going to war right now.
Yeah, it just sounds like we like went through like some crazy expedition.
Men, we've lost a couple.
We just made it to them.
We got to push through
to the peak of Everest.
You're the last ones.
We made it this far. The final push.
You have, or even Steve too. You guys have other sports to get you through the off season. You know what I have to get me through the off season?
Baseball.
Nothing.
Wrestling.
I sit in my room and I stare at the wall.
You stare at your photos.
Yes.
You have wrestling once a week. True. Twice a week.
That's true.
Twice a week. Sometimes three. There's a pay-per-view, which WrestleMania is this Sunday, tomorrow.
Nobody cares.
Everybody cares.
So much rather watch Royals Mets than that.
No. WrestleMania is...
Is WrestleMania the outdoor one?
Yes.
That seems early. They always have it this early?
Yeah. It's always like the first Sunday in April, usually. But it's not always outdoor. Sometimes they just do big stadiums. They'll do like the stadiums with the retractable roofs and shit. They're doing it at Cowboy Stadium. So,
this year?
Yeah.
Hmm, so, interesting. Yeah. What's the one in like the smack in the middle of summer?
SummerSlam.
Is it SummerSlam?
Yeah.
They always have that one outside?
No, that's usually in L.A.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So like the one that they had one in like the Giants Stadium the other year. Was that WrestleMania?
Yes.
And they had that outside?
That one sucked.
Was it cold?
No, it wasn't cold. It was because it was during the day. So when The Undertaker came out, it was still light out, and I was like, what the fuck? Like, Undertaker cannot come out when there's lights
on. In the daytime.
Yeah, like, no. He
that is weird.
Yeah, it seems like that would ruin all the intros.
It did.
With, like, all the pyrotechnics and the fire and the smoke.
That takes away a lot from the intro game.
It was like having a dream about eating a bowl of ice cream, but you just, like, couldn't taste it. Like, the ice cream is still great, but, like, you just, you weren't experiencing it.
That's what I was going to say, so I'm glad you said it.
Yeah. Anyways, so we got some predictions, Steve?
Yeah, we got some predictions. I mean, for right now, just to kick it off, we're just going to just come up with your biggest bold prediction you got. All right, we're not looking numbers here, numbers there. Come up with maybe this guy does this great achievement, that guy does that.
Okay.
Jared, we'll start with you. What do you got?
I have Rick Porcello winning 16 games this year.
Okay.
I mean, he's probably going to lose.
That's not super bold.
That's pretty bold. How many fucking games did he win last year? Like 9?
It was around 9, yeah.
All right. I mean, no one believes in Rick Porcello. I believe in Pretty Ricky. So,
Pretty Ricky, Ricky and the Mavericks.
16 wins is a pretty damn good season, and it would surpass his career high. So, that's decently bold.
Okay, Pete, what do you got?
I also think Porcello is going to have a good season, but I'm going to go with Mookie Betts finishes in the top 5 of the MVP voting.
Ooh,
a Betts take. All right.
Ooh, all right. Okay.
That's a good one. That's a good one. This isn't really that bold. I'm going to have something a little crazier than this. I think Zandy wins the batting title this year.
Okay.
I think he gets the batting title. We're going to go from Silver Slugger to batting title. All right. We're climbing the ladder. I think that goes down. But, yeah. Next one we got. All right, so this is more specific. Travis Shaw.
Mm.
Mayor of Ding Dong City.
Yep.
Over under 27 home runs.
Under.
By the All-Star break?
I'm going under.
27. I think 27 feels right, for an over under for him? Like, I feel like seems that feels high. Right. I'm just saying if he gets the reps, if he gets the at-bats.
That seems high.
It does seem high.
I also am saying it in the presence of Jared. I wanted it to be a thinker for him. I don't know if it is.
It all depends, like you said, it depends on the at-bats, but since, you know, this doesn't really matter. 27 home runs for Travis Shaw. If he gets a full season, which, put it this way, I think that Pablo Sandoval is going to be traded, like, pretty soon.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to be traded pretty soon. Mm-hmm. So if he is, and that means that Travis Shaw is going to get his full season if he stays healthy. I'm going to say...
So if he plays a full season, the law of averages or the simple math says that he'll get over it because he hit 13 last year in 65 games.
Yeah. So then that averaged out to be 32 home runs.
In 130 games.
In 162 games.
That's not.
I mean,
that
second
math
we got to start.
That math is terrible.
That math is off. It would be like
130 games, he would hit 26 home runs.
Hold on.
He'd be up
there's
there.
There's a dog here.
This is a good site, actually. What's up, baby? How you doing?
Yeah, I was right. Fuck you guys. 13 home runs in 65 games averages out to be 32 home runs over 162 games. So
oh, okay.
Fuck you guys. I was right. You were wrong.
I think I was just misinterpreting what you were saying. I was just saying if he ended up playing 130 games.
Oh, no. I meant over 162 games.
Okay, I just doubled what...
Yeah.
Because he's not going to play 162 games.
No. Yeah, exactly. Well, you never know.
Who knows?
You never know.
If he plays 162, I'm buying both of you guys Ferraris.
I just doubled what he played last year and doubled the home run total, so 26.
Gotcha. Okay, so the over-under is 27. I'm going to take the over.
I'll take the under. I'll say he'll hit 25.
I'm going to say he's going to hit 30.
Because I'm still not completely sold. 30.
He's going to come just short of being the fifth 40-40 guy ever. I'm saying under as well to play it safe just because of a reps thing. I don't think it's a talent thing.
Like,
I think
I'm not sold that even if, I mean, if Pablo gets traded, then it's open season, but he's going to have to split reps with Pablo at some point if he's around.
Exactly.
Yeah, but that means that he's playing first and giving Hanley a day off, or he's playing left against the right-handed pitcher.
Moving on from Shaw. We have Xander Bogaerts. He's the shortstop for the Boston Red Sox.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
He's my prediction for batting champion of the American League and over-under his last year's average of 320.
I'm going to say under.
Same here. Ooh.
I think he hits 317 this year.
Okay.
Not really too far under.
Sticking your neck out there. I'm saying Xander hits 330.
Wow.
Write it down. Steve. That's why I want to say I'm getting to my bolderness.
Okay.
All right. We started with batting title, and now he's going to hit 330. He's going to go 4-for-4 on the last day to just edge out whoever the hell he edges out. Probably going to be what's-his-face shortstop in Houston. Correa, yeah, he's probably going to edge out Correa. But, yeah, I think that goes down. So
I'll say he hits, like, between 295 and 305.
Okay.
That feels right. Yeah. Just add 30. last one we got, E-Rod over-under. Yeesh. I might have to edit this number. I don't know. This seems pretty high. 11 wins? Does that seem high for E-Rod, missing time?
I mean, he'll be back in May, I think, right? Yeah.
And then you think he's getting enough starts to rack up the dubs? I also hate doing over under on wins because that obviously doesn't encompass what he's doing.
Fucking bullshit stat.
So over under 11 wins.
Over under on 11 wins for Eduardo Rodriguez with only 5 months to do it. I think he gets over.
Hey. I will say push. Ooh. 11 wins.
First push of the day. I'm going to say over just to be optimistic.
Fancy boy.
Heyo. I think he goes over, and I think he's your number two starter come the playoffs.
Ooh, yeah, that is bold.
You were debating that it was too high. You both said over, and I said push. Nobody went under, so
I was trying
apparently
to sell
not
it,
too
man.
High.
I don't want us all to have the same answers. So that's all we got for over-under.
Push it real good.
Wait, so if you have E-Rod as the number two starter going into the playoffs, that means that the Red Sox don't add somebody, right?
No, I think they still do add somebody, but it doesn't have to be somebody big. The owl talk will come further down.
Okay.
When we get close to the trade deadline, we'll talk about that.
Okay.
All right.
Well, all right.
All right.
We did this last year before opening day. What would be your walk-up song?
Ooh.
You get to change it this year if you so please.
We should play our walk-up songs.
We should.
What would yours be?
Last year I said, I think my two that I was split on was Party Hard for Andrew WK, which would be a great fucking walk-up song, and then Gorilla Radio, which is Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah, thanks for the clarification.
Well, you never know.
Wow.
To wow?
Instructing the people. This year, I think my walk-up song would be...
Actually, no. What? We're not going to say it. We're just going to say Pete's walk-up song, my walk-up song would be, and then you just play it. Put the mic down to your
All right,
song.
I dig that.
It's more suspense.
Yeah.
All right, it paints a picture for the listener.
It does.
All right, here's my walk-up song. With the crowd saying the uh-oh part, like, come on.
That's flames.
That would be some hot shit.
That would be very hot.
I could
hot.
Definitely see people getting into that, like, during the summertime.
I can also see Pete just, like, bopping as he walks up, too.
Yeah,
if you play for the Cardinals, too, oh, boy.
Yeah, exactly. St. Lunatics.
Ooh, man.
That's the thing, like, if I was a Major League Baseball player, I'd have to be careful what I chose as my walk-up song, because I'd be like... I wouldn't go up to the plate. I'd be like, nah, keep bumping that shit.
Yeah.
I'm not done.
I was very upset. I understand trying to speed the game up, but a couple seasons ago, they started limiting the seconds you
could
play the walk.
Yeah, they fucking play for like 5 seconds. You don't even get to enjoy the
it's
song.
Like Xander Bogaerts, and he literally plays the song for 2 seconds.
X gone.
What is he going to do? I don't know what he's going to do. You didn't play the whole song. I need more music. Obviously, you guys know I'll jam to most of that stuff. You need to play that. And also, it gives you that edge over the pitcher. If you walk up and your song's playing, you're looking that guy in the eyes.
Like you know how you can pimp home runs? You should be able to pimp your walk-up song.
Yeah. I think we would all be clowns walking up to the plate. I'm pretty sure we'd all either nod.
I also need more creativity and more better selection from my Major League Baseball players.
David Ortiz, I give him a lot of credit because he doesn't just have one song. I think per at-bat he has a different song.
He has a different song for every at-bat, yeah.
And I have no idea what the fuck any of his songs are usually, but they're jams.
And Pedroia could do better. He normally
just
has
the most gangster thing that he could find.
I mean, I've heard some songs before where he keeps the whole season. And it's like we could do better than this. Nap was pretty good. He'd have that country vibe. Like Nap's coming up. Yeah. All right.
So like my thought process is what was like the uh-oh part would be fucking sick with the crowd. It'd be like
it would be like Victorino.
Like Euclid and like Victorino, where they just fucking, the crowd takes over. That's
you
got
to do that. That's actually a smart play to like get the crowd
into
yeah,
it.
Yeah, get them into it like before you're at bat. Just already juice
that
them
was
up.
A big part of people liking Victorino.
It's yeah, my choice.
It's the
this
only
year.
Reason I liked him.
What do you guys got?
So obviously, if I were a Major League Baseball player, I'd probably be the highest paid player in the league. So I went with this song.
Here comes the money.
Here we go. Money talk.
Here comes the money.
Yeah, I like that one.
Shane O'Mac.
How'd you get to that one?
That is that's Shane McMahon's entrance theme.
Shocker.
Of course. I knew it had to be a wrestling thing.
He will be fighting The Undertaker tomorrow night at WrestleMania for control of Monday Night Raw.
Knew it had to be a wrestling thing.
Shane O'Mac.
I can see Jared just like throwing up the money signs, just like bling bling. Like that. You would get plunked, by the way.
Yeah, you would get drilled by
it. The good part is that you'd probably retaliate, right?
Yeah, I mean, after a while, they would probably hand out warnings before my at-bats so that you can't throw at me anymore.
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Steve, what do you got?
All right, here we go.
Baby, you my A-chain. You all I ever wanted. We could do it real big. Bigger than you ever done it. You be up on everything. Other hoes ain't never on it. I want this forever. I swear I could spend whatever on it. Cause she hold me down. Every time I hit up, when I get right, I promise that we gon' live it up. She made me beg for it.
Nice. I can see that. That's a very Steve song.
It is a very Steve song. I think it makes sense.
What up, squad?
It's always the same exact one of these days we'll change the pose.
Yeah, that's a very Steve song. I can see it.
I need a Drake song. I think without,
you're a very big Drake.
I'm a huge Drake guy.
I learned
it's almost,
that in Foxwoods.
Yes, we were when we were in San Francisco for a week with the Bleacher Report people. I was the DJ, obviously, when we would pregame, and like this kid only plays Drake. That's literally all he plays. That's all he listens to. But yeah, I need that Drizzy, and I want that line to come on. You know, I want to get that whole feel and just look at the picture in my eyes and just let him know that he's my everything.
I'm going to fuck you. I'm going to fuck you.
He's all I ever wanted, and we can do a real big, bigger than he ever wanted.
He just needs to know that.
So if he can know that, if we can just keep that running, yo, play that back.
Steve just trying to get in the pitcher's head by throwing sex vibes at him from the batter's box.
Just give him the eyes.
Nobody picked Gold Bottles. That's surprising.
Well, that's that should be the post-game victory song. You can't be popping Gold Bottles if you're fucking 0-4.
We went opening day, we're popping Gold Bottles. Like, this team's drunk all the time.
All the time. All right. Is that it?
Yeah. I think we're coming in right around an hour right now.
That's sweet.
Good stuff.
All right. Well, are we going to actually do this every week now that the season starts?
Yeah.
Stanley Cup playoffs start soon.
Yeah, but we
soon.
Get the mornings.
We yeah,
get
we
mornings.
Have the mornings.
We get mornings if we can tough it out. So, all right.
I'll figure it out.
We'll see you next week, a.k.a. next month. We want to thank our producer, Steve Perrault. You can check him out on Twitter at Steve_Perrault. You can follow us on Twitter at Section 10 Pod. Follow Pete on Twitter at Pete Blackburn. You can hit me up on AIM, dprice69xxastro. The archive for the Section 10 podcast can be found at section10podcast.com. Subscribe on iTunes. Rate the show. Tell a friend. Be like, hey, you know what? Guess what? Baseball season's back. And you know what? I got a podcast that you might like.
Baby, you my everything. You're all I ever wanted.
You might want to check this podcast out. It's really super fly. And I think that they got some sensual feelings, sensual vibes going on that you might want to check out. So, why don't you check out Section 10 Podcast, baby. Check out our sponsor, Sock Signatures, at socksignatures.com. Use promo code SECTION10 to get 10% off of your first order at socksignatures.com. I want to thank you guys for stopping by. Be sure to check out the baseball show on Comcast Sportsnet New England every Sunday, 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern with your boy. Peace.